When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you have to stop but don't really want to, stop at BP. Because BP has everything you need to keep it going. Fuel to keep the adventures going. The BP Me app to keep the savings and the commutes going. Snacks and drinks to keep the crew going. And the BP Me Rewards Visa to keep the rewards going and going and going. A stop at BP isn't a stop at all. Keep it going.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
What is up, everybody? Palazzo Podcast, 2Ls, 2Zs. Yes, this is your boy, Mike Virginia, joined by the prospect guru himself, Mr. Benjamin Chase. Ben, how are we doing this evening on this fine Monday where James Wood gets his debut?
Absolutely. And, you know, thanks for hopping on, Mike. We just so folks understand, we have our two other gentlemen that normally join me on Monday nights are both from our neighbor up to the north, and today is Canada Day. So they're smart. They put their stinking holiday on the first of a month. I mean, that's just, it makes it a little easier, you know, I just got to say. But exactly. So they are going to be, doing some very positive things today, like watching fireworks, because we know that Govier loves himself some fireworks. So other than that, yeah, it's a pretty good day. It tried to rain today and didn't, and we don't have anywhere to put any rain because we're still dealing with flooding around here. So yay.
There you go. So for those of you guys who are new here or jumping on with us for the first time, appreciate you guys doing so. We do shows three times a week. We do Mondays, we do Fridays, and we do Sundays. And Mondays are always our Prospect Power Hour with Ben and Robbie. I'm filling in for Robbie and Govier today, as Ben alluded to. And today's topic, we're doing a fantasy baseball Ask Me Anything with the prospect guru himself. So if you play in dynasty baseball leagues, or if you're just a fan of prospects and just love talking baseball, this is the guy to ask. And we're so lucky to have him as part of the Palazzo Podcast here. Live chat is open. For those of you guys who are watching us now, fire away. We got some questions from some folks in our Discord channel. If you guys are new as well here and you haven't gotten into the Discord yet, make sure that you do so. There's a lot of great minds there. I'm in there. Ben's in there. Robbie's in there. Govier's in there. There's a ton of other great minds who are not part of necessarily the show, but also know their stuff in terms of baseball. So if you guys haven't done so, get in there and ask your questions. We're always happy to help out. And you can always hit us up on Twitter. I'm at underscore Mike Virginia. Ben Chase is at Big Gentle Ben. Obviously follow Robbie Baseball One. Michael Govier is at MJ Govier. And Sam Wershing, Sam FB1, yeah. I believe is his handle. So, and then Britton Allen, 2Ts, 2Ls, who does my Sunday show with us. So, again, a lot of great minds in here. Ben, yeah, let's get started here. Let's talk about some prospects here. Do we want to jump into some news first?
Well, here? And you know, we were going to go through A-ball promotions, guys who are getting up to A-ball, but that's a long stinking list. And to be honest, for guys that are still at A-ball, there's a really good chance that that'll never matter to anybody but the show that for the like 2 hours we would talk about it. So instead, what I did is I looked over the last week on the minor league baseball transactions page, and I picked out a half dozen guys that I thought were really important type of promotions for folks to keep an eye on. Obviously, top one is James Wood. Started off his major league career tonight with a single off a lefty. That's a really nice start. For those who don't know James Wood, depending on what list you prefer, he is right now the top ranked prospect in all of baseball. 6'7" outfielder, has a lot of raw power. This year has really focused on his swing mechanics and become a much better like singles hitter, singles, doubles, guy for average. Mm-hmm. And he did strike out his second at bat. Once again, it's against a lefty who knows a little bit of what he's doing. I mean, David Peterson is kind of one of those good number five swingman up and down type of starters that can make a guy look goofy on a good slider. And that's what he did. Right. But this is a guy that if he isn't owned in your league, get him ASAP. I understand for those who do Sunday bidding, there's a lot of leagues where he wasn't allowed to be bid on simply because he had not yet played a game. So that's going to likely mean a hell of a bidding process come this coming Sunday for him, because this is the guy probably coming up that we know of for the rest of the way, as far as big time prospects that should probably, I cannot imagine he goes back down unless he completely falls on his face. So.
Yeah. And I totally agree with that. We talked about him enough on Sunday's show too. I've mentioned before in previous shows as well that next to Junior Caminero, he was the most excited. This is the most excited I've been in terms of a prospect. Junior Caminero hasn't even come up yet, but James Boyd was like my 1B to Junior Caminero's 1A. I mean, this is how good of a hitter he is. And he's 6'7", folks. This guy's a monster of a man. So I live in the Northern Virginia area right outside D.C., 45 minutes. And all day today, they've been coining it James Wood Day. They made shirts. All the talk radio around here has just been hyping this guy up literally from the minute I woke up this morning to the minute I left work and got back in my truck to go home. They were still talking about James Wood. So, Ben, I'm interested to hear your take on this here too, because, you know, we've seen so many prospects come and go so far this season, at least the hitters. Is there such thing in today's day and age, or maybe just this year, as a surefire can't miss prospect right now? And does James Wood fit that bill?
I would say no. I mean, in all reality, we just watched last night Wyatt Langford hit for the cycle, Wyatt really struggled out of the gate, and he was one of those guys that everyone said, "Oh, this guy's just got all the tools; he's going to just do it all." And for a couple months before he ended up getting hurt, he was really struggling. Now, since he's come back, the guy's got like 1,000 OPS. So definitely has been playing it up. Same thing. I pulled Jackson Churio in a keeper league off of the waiver wire in about late April, early May, because he came out of the gate really struggling. Lo and behold, he's at about a 900 OPS and hasn't even really turned on the jets on the bases yet. So there's going to be some notable guys come up and probably have some success. I mean, I still think Washington could see Dylan Cruz by the end of the year. Folks are kind of, you know, lowballing what he has done. And as far as his growth, this is a guy, I don't care who you are, you come into pro ball, there is an adjustment. He happened to hit the adjustment a little harder. Just because he didn't cruise through it the way Langford did doesn't mean he won't still be successful. What I do think is interesting is he's going to have had that struggle down in the minors. And so when he hits the struggle bus a little early in his major league career, he's going to have some experience with it. But yeah, the rest of the way, honestly, the guy who I'm really looking forward to seeing, I put out an article for IBWAA this morning on the first half minor league team. And I got to say, your boy, Kobe Mayo, is about the only guy who, if you would have put together a preseason top prospect at every position, he's about the only guy that showed up even on my consideration list for this particular, you know, I went by position. He's my third baseman. He's about the only one who's really done it. But even he has been hurt this year. So, I mean, it's this injury bug has really hit a lot of prospects, which you just don't know how that's going to affect them once they get up and they're facing 98 with command rather than 98 scattershot. That it's just a big difference. And so, yeah, I can't say anybody's just going to for sure be that guy anymore. So,
well, we talked about it too on Sunday's show and even on Friday with Gove too, is that I think we've gotten spoiled over the past couple of seasons with guys like Juan Soto coming up and, you know, some of these guys that just hit the ground running. Those are anomalies, at least in my opinion, right? Like, these guys are generational freakazoids that can come up at 19 years old and right out of the gate just start hitting the ball. So it's one of those things too where it varies year to year. So, but I think a lot of people, when they go to pick up these guys in their fantasy baseball leagues, they expect Juan Soto type production, and that's just not the case, you know. And I think that's where a lot of people get into the impatiency, I guess, if it's even a word, right? Is they like, hey, if they don't come out of the gate the first week hitting 5 for 5 with home runs left and right, they're a bust and we got to drop them and move on. Even Noelvi Marte, right, who had a great first game of the season, but he's struggled now. I think he's 0 for 10 over his last three games. So how patient are you with how patient do you get with the guys like this, especially maybe a guy like James Wood at who's MLB.com's number 3 overall prospect? How patient are you with him out of the
game? I mean, really what you got to be is understand there's going to be the single today surprised me simply against a lefty. I probably, as a fantasy owner, if I had the ability, would sit him against lefties right away until he's shown that he can do that. I sure as heck would not expect that I'm going to get consistent day in, day out production. Understand that, I mean, a head-to-head league, if Wood's on a heater, that might be the best league to own James Wood right now, because he's probably going to be sometimes like that. I mean, if we all remember back to when Austin Raleigh popped up for the Braves, he came out that first month and hit like 12 home runs and then went on struggle bus for about 2 months. Just everyone figured out that, hey, that low and outside off-speed pitch was really getting him. And he really struggled. And then he figured out, okay, here's what I need to do to approach that. And he's been in kind of the back and forth ever since. And there's a reason the guy's never going to be a 300 hitter, but he's going to give you 30 home runs almost every year. Comes out the start of this year, really struggling, made adjustments, and over the past couple of weeks has hit 8 or 9 home runs. I mean, this is the guy now that we all originally bought into. That's not just a prospect. That's every major leaguer that you're going to have that up and down with. So,
Right. Well, it's worth noting too. Like, you get this with guys who've been in the league forever. I mean, look at guys like Marcus Semien, right? He's on a huge a slump right now. So that's just the name of the game with baseball. You fail 7 out of 10 times, you're in the Hall of Fame, folks. So you got to be patient with guys like James Wood. I know we're hyping him up, and he's got a lot of helium over the past week. Half a week really since his call up was mentioned. But you got to be patient with him again. There's a reason why he was rated the number 3 prospect in baseball. So the talent will surface and the cream will always rise to the top. It's just a matter, again, of when, not if. So, Ben, I want to give you the limelight here, too. Who are some other guys that got promoted for you that you want to talk
about? So we'll kind of quick go through the rest just because they're not major leagues and we can kind of do that. Lázaro Montes, though, is probably the guy you need to know from Seattle. This guy came from Cuba, went to the Dominican, trained with the same trainer that Yordan Alvarez did, and there are a lot of similarities in the profile. Not somebody you really want playing defense for you, but, you know, other than that, that bat is going to be so valuable that you just don't care. And he got promoted up to high A, and I believe that was news last week as we were recording, or just before, just after, something like that. But he's been now up in high A, and he's having your typical adjustment right now. But this guy is, as our boy Sam said in our group text, he is him. And he is legit. He is fun to watch. But you know, he's really I love the approach at the plate for a teenage kid. This is a 19-year-old, yeah. And he just spits on stuff, and it really impresses me. Let's quick move through a couple of pitchers, just because they're pitchers, and we know that there's a good chance they never see the majors because their arm will fall off. Yeah. Cleveland found themselves another guy who can do a lot of things well, control the hell out of the baseball, and is right-handed. And now they're just working their magic with him, and that's Austin Peterson. I believe was a 9th-round pick last year, but 6'6" righty, and doesn't. I mean, I think the best thing he does is he gets, I think, the highest or the second highest extension in all of minor league baseball from the mound. But you're talking about a guy who throws 93. Nothing elite, but he knows he can control right. The crap out of a baseball, and has, I think, the lowest walk rate in all of minor league baseball right now. And this is what Cleveland does. And this is a guy that you need to pay attention. He got promoted this last week. This is going to be a guy, the second half of the season, he's going to be an ad in a lot of leagues. Quinn Matthews, left-hander for St. Louis. He has got his second promotion now of the year already. Matthews was a guy in college who was kind of your prototype college lefty, throws everything but the kitchen sink at you, but he can repeat it, and so therefore he's going to throw. And I think he had one game where he threw 150 pitches for Stanford or something like that. It was kind of a ridiculous thing. But all of a sudden he showed up, and he's throwing mid-90s this year. And it's allowed everything else to play up too. And he's jumped through that St. Louis system. This could be a legit number two, high end number three type of lefty in the middle of a rotation. So the Cardinals may have got a gem. Oh, darn. You know, geez, they never seem to find any of those in the draft. Speaking of teams that do well in a particular way, the Dodgers in the international market seem to always wrap one up. And Jose DePaula got promoted. I will say I'm hearing some dissension from folks who have seen him live that maybe aren't sure he is the guy that folks think he would be. You know, that they thought he, based on reputation, that he was going to be more, and he's not that so far. So we'll see. This is an interesting promotion. He's up into high A, and you're going to get a chance to see him face, you know, a little better pitching. It'll be really interesting when he starts to hit that double A mark. The other guy to really take notice of, and I'm going to pull my Robbie and butcher his name, but it's like he's here. Yoelin Cespedes. He was a more than $1 million signee for Boston out of Latin America. And I swear that there is no relation. And that's why the big thing was, is that he has got a Y to start his name and his last name is Cespedes. So then everyone was going, oh, well, this must be, you know, related to all the rest of the Cespedes family, right? No. Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah.
But the funny part is there's a lot of similarity in his profile. Big time power, big time contact ability. But he is also right now playing a legit shortstop. I don't know that he's a major league shortstop, but they're going to let him prove that he's not.
Yeah.
And he certainly could stick up the middle. That's the thing, is he's got the glove to stick up the middle, which would make a guy who has legit raw plus, even maybe plus power, that would really allow him to be extremely valuable if he's playing up the middle. I'm thinking he's probably... Mm-hmm. He just got promoted this week. He's going to single A ball, and I want to say he's 18, you know, so just a year removed from getting signed. So first full season assignment, but this is a guy to keep note of because I'm guessing this will be a hot property this offseason, you know, especially.
How does that affect Marcelo Mayer, who's also a shortstop with Boston?
I think right now, not at all. Like I said, that's why as we would get into all of these, there's a lot of guys in A-ball that, you know, hey, he's playing shortstop. He just got promoted to high A. Woohoo. What's that mean for this guy who's in double A or triple A? Not a thing. Right now, he's still playing shortstop because he's in A-ball and they can still let him play shortstop. Almost certainly, he's going to get moved off the position. Cespedes, I don't think the reactions are there enough to play shortstop at the big league level. But he's smooth with the glove and he's, you know, he has good transition around the bag. Like I said, I think if he moves to the other side of the of second base, he'd be just fine. So,
yeah, there you go. All right. Well, hey, should we get into Robbie's Jesus take?
And I gotta give Govier some credit before we play this. Govier decided since Robbie wasn't here, we were going to record the video of Robbie making his pick. And then Govier did some nice production with this. So everyone should just sit back, crack open one in honor of our boy Robbie, and then enjoy this video.
I can't wait.
Jesus, take the wheel.
What's up, everybody? Happy Canada Day. Robbie Baseball here. I am not on the podcast tonight, but Captain Govier said he would record my Jesus Takes the Wheel pick because he knows how important it is to shame me in the future if this pick doesn't work out. But this week's a lock. I love this pick, and I love this pick for many reasons. What's the pick, Rob? What's the pick? It's Spencer Arrigotti, Mr. Spaghetti with the Houston Astros. 10% rostered on Yahoo. 39% rostered on Fantrax. Sure, that sounds high. Dynasty buy. Go get him. You're going to be happy with it. He's only 3% started or starting with the Astros. But tomorrow night, he's going to crush the Blue Jays. Last start, he had 10 Ks. I think quality starting to win. It's been a rough go for him, but he is Captain K in 65 innings. He has 75 strikeouts this year. And he's going to go home next week and take on Miami. And next weekend, two-start week next week, he's going to rock the Rangers. It's time. It's time to get him. He's worth the pickup. You won't regret it. Happy Canada Day. Happy America Day to the Americas when you guys have it in a couple days. And you'll be celebrating that first Arrigotti start and that W against Toronto tomorrow because Canada Day starts a real big thing in Toronto. I bought this jersey 11 years ago, or this jersey. 11 years. Let me show you on the back. Oh, Canada. You kind of see it. Anyway, Spencer Arrigotti, Jesus take the wheel. This is a safe pick, everybody. It's a safe pick.
Jesus take the wheel. Take it from my hand.
Oh.
Quality production, go. Mr. Govier. As always, my friend, that is great. I swear on everything in my life, Ben, I picked up Spencer Arrigotti literally about 2 hours before this show because I liked what I saw from him. Mind you, it was against Colorado coming off of his 10K performance. But Toronto going up against – it's kind of weird that he recommended him, right? Because he's going up against his boys, the Blue Jays.
Robbie knows what those boys have been doing this year too, so –
Yeah, that's true. But Hunter Brown looked good against him today as well. So I don't foresee and well, let me ask you this. I don't know how you feel about him, which we'll get into in a second, but Vladimir Guerrero was out of the lineup today. He couldn't squeeze a bat apparently after that hand. The x-rays came back negative, I believe, which were great, but it looks like he's got some swelling in there. I think they'll probably be safe with him again tomorrow because Vlad's been hot, but if he's in the lineup, does that sway you at all? If he's not in the lineup, does that obviously that boosts Arrigotti?
I think about the only thing you might wonder a little bit if Vladdy's in there is if Arrigotti's going to get six. Because it's for some reason when Vladdy's in there, he works the count and it seems like that's contagious to other people around him to then work a count. But like today, watching Hunter Brown, they just nobody, I don't remember George Springer walked, but I think other than George Springer walking, I did not see anybody get to a three ball count. And I watched two innings worth of hitters. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous that how much they're jumping over it. But Arigati and Brown both have been really good lately. Arigati had one big blow up start recently, but otherwise for about his last, say, seven or eight starts, has been a very useful fantasy pitcher. So I think I'm not 100% sold on the talent quite yet, but Houston's got to have somebody. And right now their freaking bats are hot, even with Kyle Tucker not in the lineup. Mm-hmm. You know, they're still hitting really well. So yeah, I like the pick.
There you go. Yeah. I'm even more excited that I picked him up yesterday. I was literally using him just as a streamer, for tomorrow, because Ben, I foolishly forgot to, I inserted my hitters today. I did not fix my pitching. And Hunter Brown was on my bench. So I'm a little bit on tilt, and now I have to make up for that. So I'm so pissed. Hunter Brown, I apologize if you're watching the show. I should have started you. It's been a hell of a morning. I just never got around to it.
David Hill put up, and for those of you who are not watching us on YouTube, David Hill mentions in our comment section that Hunter Brown over his last five starts has had a 0.29 ERA, 0.90 WHIP, and almost 10 K per nine. So yeah, he has been on one over his last five, but this was kind of expected. If you want to get into our prospect talk just a bit ago, Hunter Brown needed to figure out how to pitch at the major league level. And he kind of took his lumps over last year and a little bit to start the year.
Yep.
And he's, more than anything, he's always had the raw stuff. He's now pitching. He's not just throwing the ball up there and trying to overpower guys. He's pitching to get outs. And that's a big difference.
Well said.
So you ready for some?
Not to mention, too, real quick on Hunter Brown, he's not throwing the fastball as much anymore. He's leaning on other pitches. So to your point, he's learning how to pitch, folks. So you heard it here, folks. Heard it here first, folks. Hunter Brown is turning a corner here. Maybe Spencer Arigati's right behind him here. And then all of a sudden, Houston's got two really, really solid arms in that rotation. And like Ben alluded to, their bats are hot as well. So, all right, Ben, getting into some of these questions here. And I was in our Discord earlier and I saw some of these questions as well. So I'm really excited to talk on the first one here. Mr. Bob Dole within our Discord wants to know, is DSL worth rostering in fantasy? And I assume he means in maybe a redraft. Well, I'll ask you this. He's obviously worth rostering in dynasty formats. Everybody knows that. Is he worth rostering in redraft formats?
I guess I'm assuming he's talking about Dominican Summer League.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking about the third base prospect Arizona.
Yeah, no, right. Not Davison. No, I'm guessing he's talking Dominican Summer League, because there's been a lot of hot guys lately that have come out of, that have been the talk of the Dominican League, and all of a sudden they turn into nothing. And what you, frankly, as far, I play in a few different leagues that are like 40 man roster and that's it. And so your prospects that you have to fit within a 40 man roster, and you still have to play a major league roster and meet minimums and all that sort of stuff. So it usually means that someone who's got 10 prospects is pretty much given up the league that year. Sort of a league, no one in DSL really is worth rostering. But you start to get into your 200 prospects rostered type of leagues, and there's absolutely guys from the DSL that should be rostered. It's just, you need to find somebody you really trust to pick out who that guy is. I will say that I used to have someone that worked for a team and went to Dominican League games, and I got really good info on guys. He has retired, and so now he does not go to as many games. He goes to a few, and so he gets one look at a guy rather than six, and that's a big difference in being able to see a guy go up and down and have some struggle, have some success. And so, yeah, I kind of have started to avoid DSL. So
Well, I swear I'm not dyslexic. I don't. It's been a long day, Monday. I thought we were talking about De Los Santos.
No, I get it. Arizona no, yeah. here. I was like, he's got to be talking about somebody, but I wasn't 100% sure. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, now I'm glad we got that off the table here. But I'm going to ask that question to you right now. Is De Los Santos worth rostering? Do we see him up this year?
Rostering, absolutely. And honestly, I think if you were... I'm so close to saying yes on the second part of that question, but it really need to see what Arizona does in the next month. Because if in the next month Arizona continues to be very far behind the Dodgers and the Padres, I think they really need to just dial it in and that, you know what, this isn't going to be that year. And especially if they, you know, they can't get anything out of Jordan Montgomery, Eduardo Rodriguez doesn't come back. If there's pitching, you know, if Zach Gallen isn't going to be 100%, they got to just kind of dial it in and be like, so I would say De Los Santos is a guy that can get some major league time, especially because they have one of the best defensive first basemen in the league, and they're not going to care if he screws up at first. They're just going to throw him at DH. And that's exactly what they would do if they brought him up. Christian Walker is one of the best defensive first basemen in the entire league. They aren't moving him for De Los Santos.
But doesn't De Los Santos
not anymore. He's 100% first base this year.
He's pitched the first.
He had kind of been splitting some time as he got up into the upper minors, but this year he is 100% first base. So,
got it. That's good to know. I did not know that. But here's the thing too. Like Eugenio Suarez has been. I'm just throwing this out here, Ben, and you tell me if I'm wrong. Eugenio Suarez has been terrible for them. Is there a possibility they say, hey, we need him in the lineup? Eugenio Suarez is killing us. Maybe they stick him back at third base, or is that ship sailed?
I think defensively it's probably sailed. But then again, teams tried to shoehorn Miguel Cabrera, you know, Spencer, you know, Torkelson. They tried to shoehorn Freddie Freeman for a little bit at third base. I mean, teams have tried to do a lot of things in order to get a guy's bat in the lineup. So you just never know. I would say he's worth rostering. And if you've got an NA spot, there's a pretty good chance he's going to come up, but I have a tough time for sure guaranteeing that, just because if they think that they got a shot at the playoffs, there's no way that they bring him up right now, because he's still got a lot to figure out.
Commercial! You gotta give him that hawk too and spit on that thing. You get me?
You're listening to the Palazzo Podcast. If you've got some noodles in the water on your stove, now's a great time to check if they're overcooked. Me, myself, I prefer al dente. More pointless commercials are up next, right here on the Palazzo Podcast.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app.
Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, here's a good question real quick from our boy, Mr. Britton Allen, 2 T's, 2 L's, the Tennessee kid himself. Make sure you guys are following Britton at Britton Allen on Twitter. He wants to know, do I stash Jordan Lawler, the shortstop prospect for Arizona, or De Los Santos?
That's a good question. I have not heard great things about Lawler's recovery right now. one of my absolute favorite guys when he's healthy, though. And so if he can be healthy and you know he's coming back, there's your guy that can slide into third base and tell Eugenio to go. Yeah.
Jordan Lawler. Tell,
you know, I would say that that's going to be your better option as far as working on the left side of the infield. But he's got to be healthy, and right now he just hasn't been.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, Britton, I really can't recommend either one. If it's an either or, I would stay with Lawler because there's a defensive position there.
There you go. There you go. Next question here, and I'm just jumping around here, and what stood out for me here because I love him so much. Another question from Bob wants to know: is Junior Caminero losing any value? He's been up in and out of the lineup down in AAA because if he's had some injuries there, when he does play, he's been playing well. But then I recently saw that he wasn't playing well, so it looks like the Rays are going to be pretty patient with him. The Rays are in general are pretty patient with their prospects to begin with, as is, but. Ben, where does Junior Caminero rank for you moving forward, especially this year in redraft? Does he have any value for teams?
Yes, simply because I honestly think that Tampa is going to be a big time seller over the next month. Once they do, I don't know who creates the hole for him, but I would almost guarantee there's a hole for him to come up and be in the lineup full time. That's assuming one, he's healthy, and two, he's hitting, and that's the big deal. Right. As far as redraft is concerned, him not being up could allow you to get him for cheaper than what he should be worth. Dynasty, if someone's discounted Caminero in Dynasty, then they just haven't been around the game that long, because this was an elite hitter last year. All the way up to AAA. Mm-hmm. He's hit well at most of the year in AAA. He's had your normal ups and downs that you get with baseball. But the main thing this year is the injuries. Now, the unfortunate part is when it comes to injuries, out of sight, out of mind. And so there's a good chance that you might be able to pull off a deal with your owner that doesn't realize that he still has Junior Caminero sitting on his bench, sitting in his minors, and you might be able to pull that deal off with the right guy who's effective right now. But I wouldn't make any guarantees there. You know, I think he should still hold this. I won't say the same value as he had at the start of the year, but we're talking, instead of the number two prospect in baseball, he's maybe the number 10 prospect in baseball. You know, there's a big difference here. Right. You're not saying this guy is no longer a top 100 guy. You're saying this guy might be among the top 10, just not the one or two. That's all.
Right. Yeah. I was really high on him coming into the season. I still am. And I kind of agree with you. I mean, maybe his value's lost. It's taken a little bit of a hit, but still, this is one of the better hitting prospects in all of baseball. Glove, maybe not so much, at least from the things that I've read. But I agree with you. I think Tampa's going to be sellers here at the deadline. Last question with him before we move on. Call your shot. When do we see Junior Caminero? What month?
I think you're going to see him in August. They're going to finish out the sell-off, and then he's going to be up in August.
There you go. So if those of you guys in redraft formats, now is maybe the time to start looking at him. If you don't have any NA spots available, maybe towards the middle or end of July, maybe we start looking to stash him there. You heard it from Ben, the prospect whisperer himself. So, Ben, I'm going to turn it back over to you here. Is there a question on the questions that we did receive? Is there something that you wanted to touch on or anything that you wanted to
answer? We'll finish with Bob's here real quick, that he asked a good question on systems that develop hitters well. I mean, I think we all kind of have an idea on pitching. You know, if a guy is a certain type and he goes into the Braves system, you know, a guy like Waldrop, a guy like, you know, Spencer, that comes in and Strider had an elite fastball and slider. You had Waldrop, who had an elite fastball and one other pitch. Those are the type of guys that the Braves seem to do really well with. You get guys.
Schwellenbach.
Well, Schwellenbach is a guy who he has two really good pitches and a whole lot of others that are just below that. So he's a lot. I think he's the guy. He's one of my favorite guys to watch on the mound. I could talk for a while on him. Plus he's, went to Nebraska. So, that's always good. You get the corn fed boys. On the hitter side, it's a little tougher. And I think what you end up having to do, what are you looking for? If you're looking for that guy that can get you a consistent batting average and get on base and maybe not give you the best power, but is going to give you a real nice bump in your batting average, you look at a Cleveland infielder. You look at a Cleveland hitter in general, because they teach that really well. Mm-hmm. They teach bat to ball really well. I think the Dodgers do a really nice job of having guys focus on what they do well. I mean, guy like James Outman was one. There are a number of guys that they take the guy's best attributes and they just have him focus the heck out of those. And they get the best out of a guy who might be a fringe major leaguer, but they do that really well. Problem is, they do that so well that then they end up kind of stashing up their system and they'd have nowhere to use those guys anymore. But really, I got to say right now, your boys in Baltimore are really, I love what they do in balancing an approach. If you want to go the best all around approach, from what I can see, I think that the way they teach the strike zone, the way they teach using your A swing, your best swing, and when to use it within the count and things like that, I think they create very, very valuable hitters across the board. Like, not just this guy's going to be an elite power hitter, this guy's going to be an elite contact guy. Yeah. They create full hitters. The one thing I haven't seen them really do the way that maybe they should is work on the base running attributes, because there are some really dumb plays that Norfolk team has made on the bases. But you watch them and you're just like, good Lord, this is, I cover high school baseball. I'm used to seeing dumb things like this in high school. Not triple A. And especially not a triple A roster that's supposed to be one of the most loaded that's ever been and all this stuff. Those are the systems, I think.
Well, they're not used to hitting, they're running the bases, Ben. You're used to jogging around the bases. So we don't have to worry about that. So when they get on the base pass, they're like, shit, what do I do?
Well, or you when know? There are so, three guys that have walked ahead of them so that that the bases are all full. They don't know what to do then. Yeah, no, I get it.
Right. Yeah. So I want to get to Oops's question. He's been waiting patiently. We appreciate it. He wants to know, is Shane Baugh going to be up soon? And is he worth hanging on to?
Yes. There have been a couple of setbacks in that recovery. And he's a guy who the velocity is there right now. And he just doesn't have the feel the way that he did. Finally, the velocity is there. That's one of the first things that he had trouble with, was getting that velocity back. Yes. And he's shown that a little bit better now. Now it's a matter of getting that feel back for his pitches. And the last start I watched to his, which I'll admit he's probably had one or two since, the last time I watched a little bit of a start of his, he was playing pepper with strike zone, not quite hitting where the catcher was set up. And he actually had some balls hitting the strike zone, but not hitting his catcher. And so then, of course, then that's a ball in a lot of situations, because they do have the automatic strike zone, but at the same time, they've switched it now to a challenge system. It used to be complete automated, and now it's the challenge system. Yes. And so a catcher set up on the inside and the ball ends up on the outside, even if it's on the outside corner and it's a legit strike, there's a good chance that gets called a ball, and it might not be worth it to your manager to challenge that one. So,
And I've gotten this question a lot on Twitter too, between Shane Baugh and then also Jeffrey Springs. I actually brought this question up to you guys in our group chat in terms of, because I just had Gavin Williams come off the IL, who making his long-awaited season debut later this week. So I had an open roster spot in my IL slot. who's worth hanging on to more between Robbie Ray and Jeffrey Springs? Robbie Ray's obviously been in the league a lot longer. He's not really a prospect anymore. Well past that, actually. And Jeffrey Springs is a guy, former reliever, turned into the rotation, had Tommy John, so he's coming back. Ben, I don't know. I'm going to give you my two cents on Boz, and oops, I'll hope this answers your question too. I think Boz is worth rostering, and I think Springs is worth rostering too. But realistically, Ben, here, I'm interested to hear your take. How many innings do they let these guys throw? If they are indeed going to be sellers, why would they let these guys throw, you know, any more than a couple of innings per start? They already do that to begin with anyway.
And that's just it. This is their normal – the way they work things already is they got a quick hook. That's a system-wide thing, and that's not just in the majors.
Yes.
That's in the minors too. They have a quick hook on guys. And so I cannot I can't fathom that they would be a six inning every time out guy at either one of them. I just don't see that. So,
right. Yeah, I don't think so either. And I'm glad you brought that up. And that was part of my decision making when I went into the Robbie Ray or Jeffrey Springs. Sounds like Ray's a little bit closer than Springs. Springs has only been going a couple innings, two or three at most in his rehab outing. And I think we're not going to see him until end of July, maybe early August at that. But, yeah, I just don't see these guys, especially with how bad their injuries were, and we're already getting closer and closer towards, you know, getting into the second half. We're already into the second half of the season as is, but I just think they're going to be extremely careful with them. So in redraft formats, I don't know if I have a whole lot of faith that they're going to let these guys even throw to a point where they're going to qualify for a win or a quality start, because they're going to be throwing two, three, four innings and pitch count. They're all probably going to both be on pitch counts this year. So I hope that answers your question there. Oops.
So,
Ben, I have a question for you here, because we talked about it. They talked about it on Sunday really quick. And, you know, if I'm coming on this show, you know, I'm talking about the guys. Yep. So, they talked about it at the deadline here. And this is, I follow a lot of beat writers for Baltimore. I follow a lot of, you know, stand accounts for Baltimore. What is your take on Baltimore? It's clearly they need a starting pitch. They need multiple starting pitchers, and I also think they need bullpen help. And they have a plethora of riches in the minors. What do you see? Well, let's get this off the table first. Who are the untouchables right now in Baltimore in any trade discussions? Or
in this year's market, I would say a lot of that Norfolk roster is going to probably be in the range of untouchables, just because there isn't that guy. I think when Jesus Luzardo went down, that was the guy. That was the guy that you might throw out. I mean, hell, you might throw out you might throw out Mayo at him. I mean, for sure, a Connor Nordby. For sure, you would consider someone like Stowers, Kierstead, guys that are kind of in that first base corner outfield mix. You'd have no problem throwing out that guy to lead a trade for someone like Luzardo, healthy, but he's not. And that's off the market. Crochet, great, great year so far, but how many innings does he have left? You know, Eric Fetty, what is he? Are you sure that whatever he's done in the first half of the season is going to continue all season long? I'm not sold.
I'm not either.
And there's just really not that guy that right now you can see being on the pitching market. And I don't see them. There's any way that they're going to cut loose with any of those big time guys for what's out there, short of a team that you didn't expect making a guy you didn't expect available. And that's
right.
I will say, and this it's maybe a good thing Govier ain't around. One of the names that keeps popping up on different podcasts that I listen to, where they are very well connected in the major league end of things, is Tarek Skubal. That name gets out. If that name gets out in there in the honest trade market, I think fans would just go ballistic in Detroit.
They have to.
that's a deal where it's two of your studs. It's, you know, you're getting a Mayo and you're getting a Kierstead. You know what I mean? Like it's going to be a holy crap deal for a guy like that with the control he has. That, I mean, I will tell you, the IBWA, the Internet Baseball Writers Association of America, they just had a vote to make for the All-Star teams Tarek Skubal was elected the starting pitcher for the American League. Tarek by no means has the best numbers in the American League, but he by far impressed that group of writers enough that he was voted as the guy who should be the best pitcher in the American League, should start the game. I mean, yeah, if that name comes up, that's the only way I see them giving up one of those guys. But I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, if the Mets get out of things, I think David Hill in the chat here has mentioned Severino, but I could see them getting into guys like Severino, into Quintana, you know, some of those guys, and selling off some of those veterans, the Sean Manaea of the world. And honestly, those guys would work really well at the back of Baltimore's rotation. It would allow them to have a guy like Cade Povich going, who may not give them six every time because that veteran will. But honestly, I think I would like Chase McDermott more than most other guys that are going to be coming up on the market. I really, what he has done since the end of April, I think that's a better option.
I love the fact that you brought that up with McDermott. And I totally agree with you on your take in terms of, I don't know if there's a guy out there that's going to be worth dealing or parting with these guys. And my personal opinion, and I think Eduardo Perez brought it up on Sunday Night Baseball yesterday. It was Holiday, Basalo, and Mayo were the untouchables. And that's been floating around too, with Mike Elias has not come out and said it, but that's been the rumor that's been floating out, that those guys are the guys that they're not going to be parting with. So it sounds like your Kerstads, your Norbys, you know, your Stowers, those guys, maybe Dylan Beavers, maybe those guys could be in the mix in terms of an arm. But I agree with you. I didn't really think about this. There isn't really a guy out there that would warrant trading those guys to get in return. Luzardo was a great one, obviously, but he's hurt now. So I totally agree with that point. And I love Chase McDermott. I always have. I actually like him more than Cade Povich. I don't know how you feel about that. But
as far as a major league starter, I mean, I think Povich is a really good 4-5 lefty, and that's a thing every rotation loves to have, is to have a guy like that in the 4-5 spot, a guy who could pop out a 6-inning shutout sort of game with 8 strikeouts and a walk. You know, that's the type of game that Cade Povich can really have, but he's going to have some games where he's out of there in 4-5 too, because he's getting hit around a little bit. But McDermott's the guy right now who has the, can be a legit top of the rotation sort of guy. And that's, you just don't have that. Otherwise you don't have that in that system. That is the guy like that right now. And like I said, he's doing it at AAA. He's right on the doorstep. So anyway,
Real quick before we, and I swear we'll get off the O's, call your shot. Just like we did with Caminero. When do we see Cody?
What do they trade? I mean, what's the deal? Because, I mean, if they end up making a deal, one of the things that got brought up on, oh gosh, I can't even think of who the podcast was, but it was someone who's an O's fan or the DC based, made the comment that Jordan Westberg could make a lot of sense for a lot of teams and probably is on the fringe of their long-term plans if Mayo can handle third. And I thought, my first thought was, that's a really tough one to do.
It is
really tough. I mean, that would be a guy if the Detroit Tigers walk in and say, we need a guy who's shown it at the major leagues. You give us Jordan Westberg to lead off this deal, then we'll take a pretty much different secondary piece. Then you absolutely are making that deal. But yeah. I love Westberg, but that wouldn't, if you can clear up third base for Mayo, sure. I don't like the idea of bringing him up to play first base. I really don't. I think that's if you want him playing first base, you do that in the minors. You get him used to that position. Yeah. So I would say if you're going to see him, it's going to be September as they currently are, and they probably call him up in late August, because that way, if he just takes off and he's beating the hell out of the baseball, you have him for the playoff run. That's probably what they end up doing.
Yeah. Because here's the thing too, like Gunnar Henderson's locking down short. He's not going anywhere, but you got basically second and third between, and I'm just talking long-term, between Holiday, Mayo, and Westberg. Right. So there's only two spots for three guys. So one of those guys has got to go. And I agree with that take. Like, if you had to get rid of one of those guys between those three, it has to be Westbrook.
Right? Yeah. And that's just it. And that's unfortunate because, like I said, I think he does everything really well. I don't think he does anything elite, but he's one of those guys. Like I said, he does everything well. You love a guy like that on your team.
Exactly.
So I have a couple questions that were asked in our Discord that I'd like to really quick hit.
Yep.
And they're kind of two very similar things. David Hill had asked if everything is okay with Leodis DeVries, the Padres prospect who is their big time signee this offseason. And then is Drew Jones a bust? And
I love the Drew Jones one, by the way. I went really interested to hear your take on that.
DeVries has come out and played like crap to start. And as in that, he's hitting 196 right now. That said, he's also walking 12% of the time and he's striking out 28% of the time. I have not seen enough of his games to really worry about or to really give you a good idea of what his swing choices are. But to me, those numbers look like someone who's a little passive at the plate. But here's the thing. He is 17 years old in full season ball. Okay.
That's crazy.
You know, and the thing is, he's drawn, walking 12% of the time as a 17 year old. That, I mean, even if he's being passive, you got to love that. So, but that kind of leads me into the Drew Jones thing. He got jumped on so bad with the injuries he had, the struggle performance he had. We were all spoiled by how well Jackson Holliday did that it reflected poorly on Drew. And the other end of things is I think there was, because some of his highlights were his power in high school, I think folks got this idea that this is, and you know, and his dad is who his dad is, that I think folks got this idea that this is a guy who's going to come in and he's going to be a 20, 30, 40 home run hitter that can, you know, run the bases well and could play some hellacious defense, yada, yada, yada. That's not him. That's really not. But what has happened is just the series that started on April 30th. So I'm not cherry picking dates. I looked at his May and his June were good. And so I looked to see when the series started that led into May, and it happened to be April 30th. So I'm not cherry picking dates, but it actually works out. It's April 30th to June 30th. He's slashed 284, 399, 420. You'll take that. Mm-hmm. I mean, and like I said, and that's an A ball. Yeah. That's, you know, 19-year-old kid and A ball. And he's walking at like a 15% rate, striking out at 25% rate. You'd love the strikeouts to be a little bit less, but that's not killing you. And as far as a 162 game, that's I love that you can do this on Baseball Reference, by the way. If you select a group of days on the game log, it'll pop up what those were, and then it'll give you the per 162 rate for what he's doing over that time.
Ooh, I love that.
The per 162 over for that April 30th to June 30th would be 35 doubles, 11 homers, and 18 steals. That's a hell of a consistent player. It's not elite. It's 123 runs scored as well, by the way. That's elite. But
yes,
it's a very consistent hitter. And I think the hype things, and like we talked about earlier, the expectation of where a guy is going to be, I think that hurt him more than anything coming into the year. And then he gets hurt. And I don't think his game was ever, I'm going to go out and I'm going to just beat the crap out of the baseball. That was never his game in high school. He just was so much better that he had some moments like that. And so they got onto, you know, highlight videos and people went, oh, well, he called out that one home run and then hit it 450 feet. He must be, he hit a ball with a metal bat 450 feet. I constantly have to remind folks that are trying to tell me that Jack Caglione is going to be this, oh my gosh, power hitter because he hit one 500 feet in college. no, guys, no, this is not exactly what that is. This is a metal bat. It's a big difference. I think, and I will tell you, I've watched him play some outfield. He may not be Andrew, and frankly, I don't know if anybody other than the recently departed Willie Mays ever was at the same level as Andrew,
yeah,
defensively in center field. But I think right now you bring his center field defense into the major leagues, and he's a top 10 at that position right now. So, but yes, yeah, I think, and David mentioned it here, that it's kind of the curse of YouTube and Twitter for Drew. And that's really, it is. It's, I think folks had him so hyped up that when he had a little bit of struggle, he had a little bit of injury stuff early on in his career. He was immediately sold down the river. And he's still one of the more athletic guys you watch. And I guess he is 20 now. So he's not 18 or a teenager, yeah, but still he's 20. And he's in A ball, which means I'm just trying to get the stupid thing to go back on for me here. There we go. Where that is, he's still a year younger than the average age player in the California League. So, I mean,
yeah,
let's be realistic about what we're expecting from these guys.
Agreed. And you hit it right on the head. We talked about it earlier in the show as well, is that these expectations for these kids that are even coming out of high school right now is like, you know, the Rafi Devers, the Juan Sotos that come up. Those guys are not the norm here, folks, too. So, you know, we have to temper expectations a little bit and give him enough time. He's never going to be his dad. It's just like Bronny James with his dad as well. Like, that's not the same player. It's not the same build. It's not the same athletic skill set. He was never going to be his dad. And for those of you guys who don't know, Drew Jones is Andrew Jones's son. So former Brave, Yankee. And again, only 20 years old. Still, he's still in single A here. He's got plenty of time to develop. I think the jury's still out on whether or not he's a quote unquote bust. And define bust, yeah, right? Like, are we saying that, is he a bust compared to his dad, or is he just a bust in terms of where he was drafted at? So, to your point and all the stats that you had mentioned, that's a solid, we'll take that. You know, obviously we want to see the K rate drop. The steals are there. The runs are there. He's got he's an athletic player. You know, he was drafted there for a reason. And again, he's only 20. There's still plenty of time for him to develop and see higher level pitching and develop and work his way through the minors.
I understand you've got a hard out here at the top of the hour. So
yes, I do.
We're going to have to wrap this up, guys. We do thanks. We got 211 folks watching us right now, Mike. We must be pretty darn special. But of course, I say that one person dropped off, so maybe that says something. But we want to thank you all for tuning in. If you do have more questions, hop on the Discord, folks. Find the Palazzo Discord. I'm going to go through the ones that we didn't get through, and I'm going to answer them right here after the show. So those questions that we didn't get to on the show here tonight, I'm going to answer. And I answer a lot of other folks that really know their stuff, answer a lot of questions on that. So come join us.
Yep, absolutely. And those of you guys, again, who are tuning into this show for the first time, the Prospects Power Hour, every Monday, it's Robbie and Ben. Yeah. These guys are the two of the most knowledgeable prospect dudes in all of the industry. So make sure that you guys are following both of them. You tune in every Monday, ask your questions when you have them. If you're a dynasty baseball player, fantasy baseball player, following Ben and following Robbie and getting here on Mondays is a must if you want to be successful for years to come in your dynasty baseball league. So Ben, I really appreciate you letting me join here today in place of the great Robbie Baseball. It's been a blast. Next things for us coming up for the Palazzo Podcast Friday, it's going I know it's 4th of July week. We're toying with maybe doing a 4th of July show on Thursday. That's still TBD, so be on the lookout on that for Twitter. And then Sundays, it'll be myself and Britton, maybe Gove, I don't know. And Ben, you're more than welcome to join us as well for the Sunday show as well to talk about this.
I will say, thank you guys again. Just because I forgot, a little birdie has kind of said that we haven't gotten all the arrangements made, but there might be another mock draft where Robbie and I are making the picks both, not just me. So tune in next Monday. That right now is the plan. We just haven't set up exactly what we're going to do quite yet. So
there you go. Thank you guys very much for joining. It's the Palazzo Podcast, two L's, two Z's. Mike Virginia at underscore Mike VA. Benjamin Chase at Big Gentle Ben. Make sure you're following us. Get in the Palazzo Discord. You guys know the deal. Like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. We will see you guys later this week. Ben, yeah, have a good night.
Bye,
prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. Don't need money, don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride on this train. It's strong and it's sudden, and it's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.